You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Livability can mean a lot of things, from access to affordable housing and childcare to living in an area with accessible parks and trails or good job opportunities. This year, more than 3,000 people across six counties in and around Sacramento participated in an annual livability poll conducted by the local nonprofit Valley Vision. While respondents found a lot of positive reasons for living in Sacramento, a number of concerns still remain. The full report will be released at the second annual Livability Summit on October 30th at the Safe Credit Union Convention Center. To talk about the poll's findings, we welcome back Evan Schmidt, CEO of Valley Vision. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Vicky.
As I was saying, it was that time of year.
So, I know.
Thank you for making the time. So as we mentioned in the introduction, and you have done several iterations of this poll, livability, it is such a broad term. What do you interpret it to include?
Yeah, I think you said a lot of it, but when we think about livability, we're really thinking about the major components of quality of life for people every day in their communities. So it absolutely includes things like affordable housing, livable wages, access to all your basic needs, including food, healthcare, other services that you might need. We also think about things like inclusive and welcoming communities and some of the ways that people feel they belong in their community or not. We think about things like high quality places. So that can be parks, trails, downtowns, other places that you might go in your community that are meaningful to you. Access to opportunity. So that involves high quality education as well as opportunities in the workplace. And, you know, it really comes down to those day-to-day experiences that you have that maybe you're not always thinking about, but it really makes a difference as to what your life's like overall.
Given that this poll spans six counties, so it's Sacramento, Yolo, El Dorado, Placer, Yuba, and Sutter counties, these are all diverse areas. One county is not like the other. But after you went through the poll and you're looking at the findings, were there some big takeaways that could be applied to really what is more broadly the Sacramento region?
Absolutely. And one of the lenses that we always look at is what type of community do you live in? So we might get slightly different findings if you're from a more urban environment compared to suburban or rural. And we also find that we really have more in common than we have different. So when we were looking at some of the big findings across the whole poll, one of the really significant ones, childcare came up, as you mentioned. This continues to be an issue for our region. People find it too expensive, hard to access, and it does create limitations to opportunities that they might want to take advantage of. Affordability issues came out. So when we're looking certainly at housing, that was one of the biggest issues. But across the line, people are having a hard time affording some of the basic things they need. But I will say that it's a little bit better than last year. I think maybe this is the impact of seeing inflation cooling off a little bit. But across all of our categories, except childcare, people found things to be more affordable this year than they did last year at the same poll. The top issues, though, that people consider when they're thinking about quality of life are affordable housing and livable wages. And we also ask a lot of questions this time around your experience in the workplace, which we usually do around remote work in particular. This has been such a major change and trend over the last few years. What we're finding is that I think remote work's leveling off a little bit, but staying steady. So last year when we surveyed, about 60% of people said they were working full time remote. This year, about 40%. But there was good alignment between what's being offered by employers and what people are actually doing when it comes to remote work, which leads me to believe that maybe we're going to stick around 40% or so of people working full-time remote. We got into as you can imagine, a quality of life survey, there's a lot of really broad topics. But I think overall, we found that people rate the Sacramento area as a good or excellent place to grow up, to pursue a career, to raise a family, less so when it comes to a place to buy a house or retire. And overall, people find their circumstances improving over the last 5 years. But there's a lot of variation in different subtopics. And I just mentioned, suburban, rural, city is one of those. But if you look at gender, at demographics, other issues really impact significantly the experience that people are having.
Yeah, I mean, when you get these findings, it's not like you're just asking a yes or no question or a good or bad question. There's a lot of nuance that goes into how you craft these poll questions. There's a lot of skill behind that. Can you go into how you developed, you know, asking the right question to get these answers?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, we have a great partner in Sac State's Institute for Social Research, and we've been doing this polling since 2017, and they've been our partner the entire time, and they do a lot of work around the administration of the survey itself. And we work really closely with them when it comes to crafting these questions, and I think there's a lot of art behind both the topics that you ask and the ways that you ask them. We also have a steering committee that helps guide our not only our research topics, but the way we ask questions. And I think that, you know, for any surveying, you want to try to avoid bias. You want to create really clear questions with answers that are easy to interpret and create just as much clarity as you possibly can. And then we also want to be really thoughtful about the types of categories that we look at. So, for example, one category that we've been using a lot lately is homeowners versus renters. So if you look at, this is another area where people have really different views and experiences based on this criteria. And so, you know, kind of figuring out those types of issues that might lend to different types of experiences is an important part of the work as well.
What I also find interesting is you also poll on how people feel, like how accepted they feel, if they think their voice is heard, if they feel like they have opportunities. What went into asking these questions? Because, I mean, I think there's a lot of detail in that that often can get missed with some maybe basic poll questions.
Yeah, and I think those questions about perceptions and how people feel is a really important metric when you're thinking about things like quality of life, because it is some of these more, definitive questions about housing affordability, but how you feel every day makes a big difference in terms of your experiences. And so when we're thinking about perceptions, we really use it as a guidepost for the idea of livability. So one of those questions was, do you feel accepted? And we asked a number of questions about, or kind of different categories about where you might feel accepted or not, like school, like your neighborhood, like your workplace, like public places in your community. We did find about 90% of people across the line generally feel accepted where they are. And this is really important. Last year, we focused a little bit more on belonging, but it's the same idea that that's a really important part of someone's quality of life, and it's something that we want to be tracking. Mm.
Given that this started, you know, in partnership with Sacramento State, you said in 2017, the livability poll, when you take a look back from 2017 to now and you look at these findings, I mean, do you see an evolution of how the region has evolved? I mean, you said there was a little bit of an improvement when it came to a feeling of access to affordable housing from last year to this year. Are there other differences that you've seen over the years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's been so much change in the last few years that it becomes maybe a little bit more like before the pandemic and after the pandemic in terms of how we're tracking changes. And starting in 2020, we actually did a series, partnering with CAP Radio and Sac State, we did a series of three polls on changes around COVID-19. It was called the COVID-19 Resilience Poll Series. And we're still carrying a lot of those questions because I think in our livability poll, because I think they continue to be major issues that we're tracking. Mental health is one of them. We saw just an absolute spike in occurrences of mental health challenges in 2020. And that is both in terms of looking at levels of depression and hopelessness, as well as stress and anxiety. And those were peaked incredibly high. Maybe 3/4 of our respondents were saying that they were experiencing both of these weekly in 2020 and 2021. We still see high instances of that in our poll. We're continuing to ask that question. But they have gone down significantly since 2020 and 2021. Remote work is another one of those that we've been regularly tracking to just continue to check in. One really constant that we've had all the way since 2017 is the value that people put on open space, natural places, parks, trails. I would say by far that is what people cite as our biggest asset in the Sacramento region, and that has never changed over the 6 years that we've been polling.
Well, I think about when, you know, you have findings about mental health and then you pair that with fresh air and the outdoors and having, you know, accessible parks and trails. I mean, that they go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people are just not shy about expressing how important this is. And we also usually ask at least a couple open-ended questions about what's special about the Sacramento region or what's really, what do you value in your neighborhood and community? And, you know, so not only does that topic of natural spaces come out in our multiple choice questions, but people write about it as well.
You touched about touched on remote work, and obviously that came out of the pandemic, but now, you know, maybe it's here to stay. I mean, I think you're at like 40% of people that are using remote work. But I think about the jobs that are tied to that, and not everyone can do remote work. So what did you learn about the inequities within being able to have a hybrid work option?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And we are finding inequities with that. So while we have only 12% of employees who said they want remote work, but their employee doesn't offer it, we did find that disproportionately white people, Asian American, Pacific Islander respondents are more likely to say that their employer offers remote work options compared with lower income workers and other communities of color. And so we do find that there are certain populations that are more likely to be offered remote work. Hmm.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking with Evan Schmidt with the nonprofit Valley Vision about the results of their soon-to-be-released 2023 livability poll. Overall, were there any big changes this year compared to last year's results or even just notable trends over the years conducting the polls? I mean, why? Because you obviously, I mean, it's successful. You keep doing it year after year. So what keeps you doing it?
Well, one thing we like to do is zero in on different topics every year so that it's not always just the same, but rather we can kind of look at what's timely right now and what do we think is important. One of those topics this time around was looking at the impact of technology like AI, automation, robot workers. What are people's perceptions about this and how do they think it's going to impact their own jobs? And we actually found that about a third of respondents think that this kind of technology will harm different aspects of their work experience. And that includes their ability to collaborate in the workplace, their value as an employee, their ability to obtain and keep a job, and their income. So people have a lot of concerns about this. And that was, like I said, a third of respondents. We had about a fourth of them think that it will improve those circumstances, and the rest thinking that not really sure or don't think it will have an impact. So I think that's an emerging issue that we want to track and really be thinking about. We also asked this year more about the impact of climate policy on jobs. That's such a big issue right now when you think about some of California's ambitious carbon greenhouse gas reduction legislation and other policies that we have. What impact do people think that will have on jobs? And it's good news there. I think 54% of respondents think that our climate policy will result in more jobs. There's a little bit of a political lens to this, but overall, it's a really positive view that that we're going to be able to kind of shift our economy and move into, really activating some of these policy decisions.
Given that a poll, you know, it's not the ending, you know, with a poll, how does polls like this help shape policy?
Well, we do a lot to communicate this out. We really see this as an asset for the whole region, including policymakers and decision makers. So whenever we do a poll, we send it out to all of our elected officials. We communicate directly with them about both the findings and about how we can make those findings accessible to them and their constituents. We also communicate it out to other civic groups to help inform programs and policies. And we've seen the impact of that over the years, certainly both in terms of kind of local policy in our government, as well as nonprofit use of that data to help shape programs and then to help show the impact the programs are having as we look at longer term trends around how people are experiencing different aspects of life.
And we're talking a week ahead of the second annual Livability Summit. I was part of the first annual. It was an awesome time, incredibly enriching. What's going to be new for the second annual Livability Summit?
Well, we're really excited. And just to note, this is next Monday, October 30th at Safe Credit Union Convention Center, starting at 8:30. There's still tickets on sale at livabilitysummit.org or at Valley Vision's website. There's things that we want to keep from last year that we thought were really successful. Last year, we had over 300 people in attendance. We've really focused on how are we building bridges across diverse audiences around some of the biggest issues in our region and creating opportunities for people to speak into their experiences of that and to help shape action to come. And that's still what we want to do. That's still a huge focus for us. And that's really the purpose of this, of really starting with this data that I'm sharing now, going in a little bit deeper, and then giving people the opportunity to really think about how to move actions forward from wherever it is that they're sitting. Some things that I think are going to be different. There's different deep dive topics, so I'm excited about that. We really try to bring a different type of program. So we're going to be looking at how neighborhoods become transformed. We're going to look at commercial corridors, how those become transformed. We're going to do what I think is a cool kind of reverse panel where we ask, you know, all of our civic leaders who are in the audience to go ahead and stay seated while we invite audience members to come up to the stage and share their views and perspectives. So we want to do a tilt towards community voice to be able to hear what are people thinking and experiencing. We also have a theme this year of transformation. So we're really thinking about what are we doing to transform our communities. And then our keynote speaker is going to be focused on transformation without displacement. So how do we make sure we're bringing everybody along as we think about our opportunities to transform in our communities?
I think about last year and how following the summit, I mean, just as a journalist, got a lot of good story ideas. I would imagine after last year's summit, there was a lot of collaboration that continued for the months after.
Oh, absolutely. And we certainly saw that at Valley Vision. Our whole staff was certainly frequently involved in conversations that had bubbled up as part of the Livability Summit. And I also think with events like these, you know, we don't own all the actions that come out of that. You know, it's designed into it to have people talking, sharing their ideas, connecting with each other. So the hope is that there's a ripple effect, that as we create these spaces and build bridges around these you know, really important issues, the people will take it and run with it. And we won't always see all the impact, but I believe that it's meaningful and impactful to bring people together in a really inviting way to engage in the issues of our communities.
Evan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
Evan Schmidt is the CEO of Valley Vision, which just wrapped. The full poll results will be released during the second annual Livability Summit that is taking place next Monday, October 30th. And a note, Cap Radio is a media sponsor of the summit. Still ahead, we're welcoming back a local top 10 Billboard blues artist to talk about her big band performance at the Sophia this weekend. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.